for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This morning we're reading in the scripture in Joel, the second chapter, and beginning with the 21st verse. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine tree do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. We're going to share with you my personal testimony of how the Lord moved upon me in such a supernatural way concerning the ministry of the Holy Ghost. I was gloriously saved at the age of 7, and also at that young age I was called to the ministry set aside by the Holy Ghost, and all through grade school, high school, and Bible college, I never departed from the call that God had laid upon my heart at the age of 7. My folks were Baptist people to begin with, really saved, accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and really were people of faith and power that knew how to get a hold of God. At the age of 5 or 6, we moved from New Mexico to South Dakota, and there was no Baptist church in Custer, South Dakota. A Pentecostal church had just started that knew the power in those days. People were being saved, were being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so my folks started to this Pentecostal church, and later both of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues. Well, all the way, as I have mentioned, through grade school, through high school, and through Bible school, my one goal in life was to go in the ministry because I had been called at such an early age. Well, after going through the grade school and high school and so forth, I entered Bible college and graduated from a Pentecostal Bible school in the year of 1946 and began to minister full-time both as a pastor and as an evangelist. After ministering for 13 years, I began to think about all the power that we have spoken about, that others had spoken about. And yet, as I looked in our, not only our church, but in other Pentecostal congregations, at our conferences and so forth, I thought, where was the power that they talked about, that we were seeing young people and adults and all slain under the power? Where was the prophecy coming forth? There were a few elderly ones here and there that were still prophesying, giving tongues messages and interpretations. And I began to examine my own heart and soul, and I thought, well, Lord, when those precious saints are gone, where will be the ones that will prophesy? Where will be the ones that will be used with the gifts of the Spirit? My own boy was between 7 and 8 years old at the time, and I thought, if I do not see my own boy used with the gifts of the Spirit, if he does not witness the slain of the Lord, even in others and himself, there will be no one to blame but myself. I began to look at our young people in our church, and I thought, well, Lord, we can't blame the congregation. We have to blame the leaders. It is not the demonstration and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost as we had heard so much about. Many times, along with others, I would speak on the Azusa Street Revival at the turn of the century, how God moved in such a supernatural way, and many people of the world were changed and completely moved on into the things of God because of the sovereign work of God at the turn of the century. I thought that's fine to read about the Azusa Street Revival. It's fine to preach about it, but if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we should be witnessing it and seeing it in our day today. Many times, along with others, I would speak about the Welsh Revival. Many of you read about it, the great revival where miners turned to God, people were slain in the power, whole communities would turn to God overnight because there was such a move of the Spirit. And I began to think about that. Well, Lord, it's not enough to tell about the Welsh Revival, but why can't we witness it in our days? Concerning the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit, many times as a pastor and as an evangelist in a Pentecostal church for 13 years, as a tongues message would come forth, I would go home and I would say to Mrs. Duncan, I would say, I actually feel like a dumbbell because I can't interpret. But I said, if God hasn't given me the ministry, the gift of interpretation, there's absolutely nothing that I could do about it. Little realizing that the gifts of the Spirit are resident within every believer at the time that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you do not understand that, you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, or 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter it is, and read 1 Corinthians 12, 6 and 7, and this is what it says, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And he's speaking about all the nine gifts of the Spirit, because he's going to name them, or he's going to list them in just the next few verses. And he said he worketh all the nine gifts of the Spirit in all. And what all was Paul speaking about? He was speaking about all who had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So from the time that you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the nine gifts of the Spirit are resident, and you have the ability to move into all of them as the need arises. Well, I did not realize this because I was not taught this in the old school. But since the Lord has led me in this way for about 7 or 8 years now that I'm sharing my testimony with you, I'm going to show you according to the Word of God, the revelation, the truth that is coming forth concerning the ministry, the ability that God has given us by the Holy Ghost. I remember after receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost at the age of 14, the Lord moved upon me. I waited upon God for 3 years, many times until hours of the night, not realizing that as I could choose to move in and receive the gift that God had given, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we were not taught this so much in those days, so I tarried for 3 years. But I do want to say this, that as I look back, those hours, those days, those months spent in the presence of God actually established me for the future. It gave me something to look to. The Lord was so real to my heart. But at the age of 14, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And not too long after that, we were having a fellowship meeting in a town by the name of Fairburn, South Dakota. As I mentioned, I was only 14 at the time. The little sanctuary was filled with people, and that night they called upon me to come and to lead testimony service. After the testimony service, I was walking down, and the Spirit of God moved upon me. I gave a tongues message, and that night nobody gave the interpretation. After the service, a lady by the name of Sister Gorsup, came to me, and she said, "Wilburn, I had the interpretation, but I didn't give it." And as I mentioned a moment ago, had I had the understanding concerning that if you speak in other tongues, you can also interpret, I would have moved in and given the interpretation. But I didn't have the truth. I didn't understand the a revelation concerning those scriptures. And so for 13 to 14 long years, I went without giving another tongues message. I never interpreted. I never prophesied. Because the devil, if this happens, when you get home, he'll beat you down and he'll say, "Well, you were certainly in the flesh tonight. My, what will all the people think about that? You were certainly out of order." And that's exactly the way that I felt for 14 years. And there are many of you that will be listening to this tape that at one time or another, you gave a tongues message, nobody gave the interpretation, and all these years, that gift of the Spirit has been lying dormant because the devil beat you down. If that has happened to you, I admonish you to take courage and faith in God. Stir up the gifts of the Spirit which are in you and allow them to manifest, because you were not in the flesh. You were not in the natural. You were not out of order. But because of the lack of understanding many times from leaders in the congregation, people did not move on in and do the things that they were supposed to according to the Word of God. So begin to give tongues messages again. Begin to interpret. Begin to prophesy in the name of the Lord. Well, during these 13 years, and especially the last year that I was in the old order or the old school, the Spirit of God began to move upon me and create a hunger within me. And as I mentioned, it was in the June of 1959 especially, one of the very precious saints from our own congregation where I was pastoring, a dear saint by the name of Cora Lynch, came to me. And she said, "Pastor, do you care if we start to have a daily prayer meeting in the house of God?" She said, "We're going to gather together and we're going to start to pray that God will send revival." She said, "If you can be to the prayer meeting during the day, fine. But if you can't, we're going to pray anyway." I said, "Sister Lynch, that will be fine." So a group of the people started a daily noon prayer meeting in the sanctuary of the church where I was pastoring. And I would like to say this many times, the prayer meeting would start at noon. And I would walk into my office to go and going through the sanctuary, and I would hear this one praying, I would hear another one praying, I would hear another one crying out to God, "Oh God, move upon our pastor, send a revival." Well, from this June of 1959, for 7 months, I began to search my own heart as I had never searched my heart before. I became sick of the old order. I became sick of the old way. I became sick of a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And listen, Pentecostals, I want you to listen to me. We might say that this denomination has a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof. We might blame it onto someone else. But I want to tell you, we can get a Pentecostal order or we can get a Pentecostal form that is not according to the way of God and the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And we can get an order that is worse than the others because we've had the light last on the Pentecostal truths that are given in the Word of God. I'm stirred about this, and even as Pentecostals, we need to stir our own hearts and souls and realize how far, how short we've fallen from the things of God. During these 7 months, I thought, oh, if there would be a conference any place, if there would be a move of God in India, in Africa, any place in the world, I was willing to borrow money and to go to get a touch from God. I would go to the conferences with other ministers and laymen. And at their conferences, you know as well as I know, there would be Sunday school reports. There would be programs on what we're going to do for the youth. There would be ham dinners, chicken dinners. There would be everything except the Spirit and the power of God in demonstration. There would be everything, agenda, all day until the hours of the night. And you would go home, I would go home as well with the rest of them, and my heart was still searching for the things of God. During these 7 months, we had just moved into a new sanctuary that we had built, a lovely sanctuary. And as far as in the old school, being blessed of God, our sanctuary was filled. Many times we would have to bring extra chairs in to accommodate the people. We had a good Sunday school that was growing. We had two choirs. And yet as I looked at it, oh, I became so sick of the old order that by the time on Saturday night would roll around, I would think before God, oh, I hate to see the Lord's Day come because I felt that I had nothing spiritually to offer to the people. Don't misunderstand me. I was so reserved. I was so dignified. My services were so organized. Everything was so in order, so I thought. And yet it was man's order and not the order after the things of God. And as I mentioned before, we can bring everything in. We can have a good homiletical sermon. We can have a nice choir. As I mentioned, we had two choirs and they would sing beautifully, and yet we were lacking in the demonstration in the power of the Holy Ghost, in seeing the work of the ministry come to pass as is spoken of in the Word of God. So during this time, even though I had a good homiletical sermons, even though we had good services or nice services, as I have often said, my heart was crying out, "Oh God, I long to see the slain of the Lord. I long to see the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit coming forth. I long to see people delivered of demons." And as I looked upon this and saw this, I did not see that was coming to pass. And I said, "I'm going to refuse to preach something that I do not see in operation." I said, "If I do not witness a move of God in my own heart and soul, if I do not see a move of God in my congregation, I cannot blame anybody else." I said, "I'm going to quit the ministry and I'm going to go into business. I'll still serve God, but I refuse to preach something that I do not see manifested." So during this 7 months, there was a local policeman that came to me and he said, "Brother Duncan," he said, "I'm going to start to your church for one reason," and he said, "that is to see if there's anything to the baptism of the Holy Ghost." During this time, there was a deputy sheriff that came to me, and he said, Brother Duncan, I'm going to start to come to your congregation, and he said, to see if there's anything to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All this time, God was pushing me against the wall, pushing me against the wall. Listen, leaders, we need to be pushed against the wall. We need to begin to examine our own hearts and souls. And I realize this is hard to do because many are afraid that if they move on into the deeper things of God, they're going to lose their church. They're going to lose their paycheck. They're going to lose their good standing with organization. Listen, we need to come out and to be separate. We need to get to the place that it's not just self-preservation, because if we're preaching one thing and practicing another, if we're preaching one thing and not allowing God's power to move, listen, we need to stir our own hearts and souls and come before God with an open and with an honest heart and say, God, we're going to allow you to move at any cost. If enough ministers, evangelists, missionaries would come to the place and we would count the cost of the move of God, we would again begin to see revival in America, in Canada, in England, and around the world. But we need to get to the place that we do not fear what the organization is going to say. We do not need to fear what the board is going to say, what the elders, the deacons are going to say. But we need to come to the place that again, that we have revivals such as they had in the book of Acts, that we see demons cast out in the name of the Lord. We will allow the spirit of travail to come upon God's people. We will allow the young people to begin to minister in the gifts of the Spirit, that we will allow God's order to come forth instead of the order of man. Well, as I mentioned, during this 7 months, my heart became hungrier and hunger for the things of God. During this 7 months, the group of the saints continued to pray day in and day out and day in and day out. During this time, I had become sick and afflicted in my body. Just a short time before this, I don't have time to give a testimony of this on the tape, but as a pastor, because of a driving spirit, as far as being alert as a pastor, my wife and I were out calling, we were out ministering, we were out trying to build a Sunday school, we were doing this and doing that, and I want to tell you, leaders, that most of us have, as leaders in the old school, have taken on driving spirits, do, and the Word of God tells us, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Sons of God are led by the Spirit and not driven. And most of us leaders, it's just like a motor that is put on inside that just goes and goes and goes. And you can't tell me that that's rest, because I've experienced that. Sister Duncan and I felt that we could not even stay at home one evening and spend with our son and just relax, because we had to be out calling on this one. We had to be out calling on somebody else. We had to be out doing this, doing and doing. And this driving spirit that drives and drives. Well, during this time, I took brain tumor, but the Lord delivered me in a supernatural way. The pressure on the right side of my head, the pressure had doubled because of this brain tumor that had grown and grown. I'll give this on another tape some other time. But the Lord delivered me. I had gone to the hospital, but before surgery, a group of the people went to prayer and fasting. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if they have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. But the Lord delivered me by a miracle. I was never touched by a knife. The doctors marveled about it. Other people marveled about it. And I know strength and health this day that I've never known in the past. Well, during this time of these driving spirits, my stomach became upset. I had to take Tums and everything else, trying to keep my stomach settled, and everything else, trying to sleep at night. And during this 7 months, all of this became worse and worse. Why? Because I was getting so sick and tired of the old order doing without seeing God move, as was promised in the Word of God. Well, at the end of 7 months, in our congregation, we were having a service on a Friday night. The divisional superintendent of the organization that I was in at the time and the group of the Bible students were going to come to give a service. Well, after the service that night at 11 o'clock, it was at 11 o'clock, I'll never forget it, I was sitting on the altar, he was sitting just a few feet from me, and this local policeman that I told you about was sitting, also visiting around the altar. And the Divisional superintendent spoke, and he said, we've just come down from Canada, and he said, there's the greatest revival going on that I've ever seen. And immediately, my ears perked up, and I said, where? I went right into the other room, and I called this evangelist to talk to him. And that night, as this divisional superintendent said that, I thought, oh, why didn't he tell about that in the service instead of promoting the Bible college? Why didn't he tell about this instead of promoting other things in the natural? Because it's such a great thing that they had witnessed. And as he said that, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, go to Canada. And I want you leaders and you laymen to realize that even though I have been seeking God for 7 months for a supernatural touch of God that would change me and my congregation and the people that I ministered to, when the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, go, I said, well, Lord, tomorrow is the Sabbath, tomorrow is Saturday, and you know I can't be gone from my congregation on the Lord's Day. I said, what will my people think? I want to challenge you pastors and leaders that when God speaks to you, that your congregations can get along without you. And if you will be obedient to what saith the word of the Lord, that God will honor his word among the congregation. And that night as God spoke to me to go north, I said, Lord, I'll sleep on it. The next morning, I was in the bathroom shaving, and at 8 o'clock, the Spirit of God said, go north. I went into the bedroom. I said, honey, I said, get ready. I said, we're going to Canada for the meeting. The divisional superintendent was at my house to be entertained, several others. I don't know if they got breakfast. I was so desperate before God, I didn't care if they were entertained or not. Within a half an hour's time, I had a speaker from our own congregation at the church at the time, and Sister Duncan and I were headed north. We got up to Vancouver, Canada, and the Canadians aren't like we are in advertising. If we would have a move of God like that in the United States, we would have placards and billboards pasted every place, but we finally found where the meetings were being held. We slipped into the church at about 7 in the evening, and finally an elderly person walked in, and I said, is this where the meetings are being held? And they said, yes. I said, are you having service tonight? They said, not a regular service, but we're having a prayer meeting. I said, that's fine with me. We got down and we began to pray. And before 2 or 3 hours were over, there were 400 or 500 people who had gathered one by one. And when they came in, they were not talking about the weather. They were not talking about their families. They were not talking about business. But I'll tell you, they got upon their knees before God and they began to intercede and travail in prayer such as I've never heard. Between 11 and 12 that night, there were between 400 and 500 people who had gathered to pray and to wait upon God. I had never met the evangelist. He had never met me. But about 11 or 11:30, they began to fold up the seats. And as they began to fold up the moving seats, they were just little chairs that you could fold up and move out. This evangelist began to go about, and people were slain under the power all over the place. Young children, teenagers, adults. They began to cast out demons. I said, Lord, I've never seen this. This is a thing I've been crying out for. Now listen, that was between 11 and 12 o'clock on a Saturday night. 400 or 500 people gathered in praying, in waiting upon God. Miracles began to take place. I saw the evangelist begin to walk toward me, and when he came toward me, I will never know if he touched me or not, but I went down under the power as a reserved, dignified preacher. I'll tell you, you have no idea how reserved I was. I would not take my coat off, no matter if it'd be 113 or 117, because they taught us not to in Bible school, and I was going to go according to what they told us in Bible school. I would never leave the platform to walk down off the platform when I was ministering, because I'll tell you, I was so reserved, I was so dignified. But as I mentioned, I went to Canada reserved and dignified, but discouraged spiritually and low physically. I went so bound by Babylon. I went up there one way, but I'll tell you, as I mentioned, I don't know if that brother touched me or not, but I went under the power in that way, and while I was under the power, God moved upon me in a sovereign way beyond my understanding. He moved upon me in such a supernatural way, and as I will share in just a moment, you might say, well, how do you know? Because I'll tell you, that's been almost 8 years ago now, and I've never been the same. We stayed for the service on that Sunday morning, and that morning as we stayed for the service, they invited Sister Duncan to sing. There were 1,000 people in attendance. We were sitting on the platform, and after she had sung, the Spirit of God began to move. The pastor's wife had never given a tongues message before. She gave a message in tongues. Somebody else gave an interpretation. Little children, 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 years old, began to stand and give tongues messages and interpretations. They began to prophesy. Well, this was fine up until they had 3 or 4 tongues messages. Now, this was then an Assembly of God church in Vancouver, Canada. And after they'd given 3 or 4 tongues messages, I thought that's fine because you're allowed to give 3 messages in tongues. But after that, we were taught in Bible school that if there were more than that, that you were supposed to stop them, you were supposed to sing them down, because that was not according to the word. So we were taught. But I want to give that scripture here so that you will not misunderstand. It's in 1 Corinthians 14 and 27. If any man, and that says any man, A-N-Y, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2 or at the most by 3, and that by course, and let one interpret. Now, that is not the whole congregation. It's according to divine order for every person in the congregation to give 2 or 3 messages and interpretation, and then for to let somebody else do it, not speaking of the whole congregation. Well, I didn't understand that scripture. The time of that morning, there must have been 8 or 10 tongues messages and interpretation. I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and this is what I said. I said, now, I don't understand this concerning theology. This is according to the doctrine that we've been taught. But I said, I know this is God. I know this isn't the flesh. I know this is not the devil. I know that this is the power of God. So we kept our hearts open. We were going to leave to come back at noon that day because Sister Duncan was teaching in the public school in Chehalis, Washington. And we thought we must get back because we don't want to have to drive all night. But that day, God's power moved until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And a lady that had been a Catholic nun took a hold of my sister, my wife, about 12 or 1 that day. They danced all the way down the aisle in that big Assembly of God church. Oh, I thought, this is God. This is the thing I've prayed for. We dare not leave. So we stayed for the service that night. And at 10:45 that night, the place was packed. Sinners were crying out to God for salvation. People that were sick and weary and bound for years were being healed by the power of God. Demons were being cast out. And until 3 o'clock that Monday morning, sinners were still coming off the street and were getting saved because God was working. Talk about a change. Talk about a move of God. I've been in Pentecost, as I've mentioned before, but I had never witnessed anything like it. So that Sunday morning, I got just a little ahead of my story. On that Sunday morning, my congregation here was anxiously waiting to see what had taken place. I called the church secretary long distance, and as I told them what had happened, she said she felt the power of God on those telephone lines all the way from Canada, clear down here and back. And she said on Sunday morning, as she stood to tell the congregation what had taken place, that when she began to speak, that the Holy Ghost began to move in the back of the sanctuary just in waves up and waves back. God had begun to move. Well, we traveled back, and from the night that I had been slain and the power on that Saturday night, God had so moved upon me that the Holy Ghost moved upon me in jolts, just like electricity. I would lie down on the bed, and the bed would vibrate with the power of God. My stomach would just go back and forth with jolts of God's power until it was like I had taken exercises trying to lose weight because of God's power that moved upon me. The telephone would ring, and instead of answering in the English language which I speak, the Holy Ghost would move upon me, and I would answer the telephone with speaking in other tongues. Now remember, up until this time, I had never interpreted because I felt that God had not given me the gift of interpretation. I had never prophesied because I felt that God had not given me the gift of prophecy. But that Sunday morning, when I came back to my own congregation, began to minister, the sanctuary was filled. Now remember that my congregation was used to a very dignified, reserved pastor. They were used to a pastor that never did take off his coat, that never left the pulpit just to the side and back, would never come down among the congregation. They were used to everything being so in the order of mankind. But that morning when I came back, God had so moved upon me that next Sunday morning that I began to prophesy. And as I prophesied that morning, part of the prophecy was this: that people will come in from the east and the west and the north and the south. And in the old school, we were so used to when a prophecy would come forth that we would think it was going to be in the sweet by and by, that it was going to be in the distant future, that we just didn't have faith to believe that it could happen then. Then that same Sunday morning, another prophecy came forth from another person, and it confirmed the prophecy that I had given for the first time. I'd never prophesied in my life. And the gist of their prophecy and also brought out that people would come in, that God was going to send such a revival among our congregation, that people would come in from the east and the north and the west to the south. And beloved, I want you to know that 30 days did not pass by till that prophecy was literally fulfilled. People began to come from the Methodist, from the Christian Science, from the Seventh-day Adventist, from denomination of every kind. They began to come in from the east, from the west, from the north to the south. And before the 7 weeks were over, they came from as far as Russia and from as far as Japan. The move of God was on. And the cry that I had cried out for 7 long months, God send revival. We must see the demonstration of the power of God in operation. I could hardly walk into the sanctuary for those 7 weeks during the day or night, but what I would find people prostrate under the power of God. I would see them on the pew stretched out before God and the power. They would be under the pews across the around the altar, clear across the back. I'll tell you, the move of God was on. Well, I'll tell you, people began to get saved. I had never cast out demons. We began to cast out demons. People were delivered of demons. Christians were delivered of demons. People began to come from near and far, and they would say, what is this? Our sanctuary that would normally seat between 200 and 300 people, we would be packed with between 400 and 500 people every night for 7 weeks. Well, during this time, the revival had gone on for about 7 to 10 days. The place was packed, and without even making an announcement for anyone to raise their hands and praise God, suddenly every hand was lifted before God. Every voice was lifted, even those that did not know the Lord, even the sinners, their voices were lifted in praises before God. The Shekinah glory of God had filled the sanctuary, and I was standing near one of the doors that would lead to the outside, and someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, Brother Duncan, your church is on fire. The fire department has come to put out the fire. And several had seen fire across our sanctuary. And the thing that thrills me the most, before they saw the fire, we knew that the fire was there because the Shekinah glory of God had filled the sanctuary. Listen, beloved, I believe in signs and wonders. And in the scripture that I've given you in Joel, as we read there, he said, I will give signs and wonders. And I want you to know that the church, when God's power is in operation, will have signs and wonders. The city commissioners got together. Church that we had built was built on one of the main dregs coming off of the freeway into Centralia. Our church was on the corner there. Cars were parked in every direction from here and there until people could hardly get by this main dreg that would drive into Centralia. Why? Because people had come from every place. And as they would call me, I thought, it's about time that the church gets some of the attention because of the power of God. When our churches have gotten to the place, we said, we can't do this on Friday night because the school night and the youngsters won't come. They said, we can't have this service on Thursday night because it's horticulture. We can't have this on Wednesday night because we're having a stork shower. We can't have it on Tuesday night because we're having a wedding shower. We can't do anything else on Monday night because of this and that. I want to tell you, it's about time that we allow God's power and spirit and the operation of the Spirit of God in the house of God. And when we allow this, people are going to be drawn. Listen, they're not going to be drawn just because of good music. They're not going to be drawn just because of good preaching. If good preaching would have done the job, the whole world would be converted because the world is good. The world is filled with good preachers. Listen, people are going to be drawn because of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I want to tell you that we as ministers have gotten to the place that we have selfish spirits. We have spirits of fighting and so forth because we are afraid that we're going to lose our own little kingdom that we've built. We're afraid somebody is going to touch our people. Somebody is going to touch our kingdom. I want you to know that we are seeing the effects of fallen Babylon and everything that has been built upon anything else except Christ and the power of God, the Word of God, the move of God is shattering and falling today, and people are getting to the place that they have nothing to lean upon unless they're leaning upon the Lord. And so the Spirit of God was moving. People had seen the fire, and actually the fire department came to put out the fire. Well, I'll tell you, God was on the move. There was a brothel house in our area at the time. Some people came to me and said, let's sign papers to close up that place. I said, instead of signing papers, I said, let's have a prayer meeting and to believe God. Listen, beloved, before a week was over, some soldiers had come in to this brothel place. They began to fight. The officials were called in. Two or three got hurt and jailed and so forth. And the lock was put on that brothel house and is put on it until this day. Listen, when the church knows how to pray again, we're going to see taverns closed, dance halls closed, worldly places of amusement. But I want to tell you, it's not going to happen just by a 10-day revival, as we call it. It's not going to happen just by a week of meetings. It's not going to happen just by the best entertainment and one of the top 10 of your organization that you can get into your church to preach a little revival and for them to go away and for the area not to know anything is happening. The only way this is going to happen, you can talk revival, you can sing revival, but listen, you've got to get to the place that your flesh has to be brought low, that everything about you has to be brought low, that God can come forth in demonstration. Paul the Apostle said, I come not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but he said, I come with demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. It's one thing to preach about the power, but it's another thing to allow God's power to move and for us to put away our little program and for you to put away your little program that God can have right away. When we will do this, more people will be touched by the power of God and will actually know what it is to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. We will know what it is to go from strength to strength and from victory to victory. Listen, in the old school, we've heard so much about apostasy. We've heard so much about the falling away. We've been preached so much about backsliding that people feel that they almost have to backslide every other week and come back to God. And we've had so much preaching on apostasy, on the falling away, that we do not have faith to believe God for revival. I want to tell you, according to the Word of God, that the time of apostasy and the falling away has taken place. I want to tell you, according to the Word of God, that in our day we can have faith to believe God for revival, because in the Scripture that we've been using in Isaiah 40 and 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I want to give you, according to the Word of God, in the Scripture that we have read in Joel the 2nd chapter and the 25th verse, he says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm and the palmer worm, and my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And he said, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month together. And the church is yet to experience the former and the latter rain in the first month together. God is sending the former rain, and before there is any time that the enemy can come in to destroy the seed and to bring disruption, as he has done so many times, the Lord is not only going to send the former rain for the water to fall upon the seed, but he is going to send the latter rain so that the seed might come forth and bloom and bud and be to the glory and the praise of God before the enemy has had a chance to destroy that which has been done by the power of God. I want to tell you, we are living in the days of restore. He said, I will restore. I will restore. The devil has brought so much havoc. The devil has brought so much destruction that there is room, and we are in the time of much restoring. Let your hearts be kindled up. Let faith become alive in your heart and soul. The Lord said, I will restore. I will restore. I believe that as much as I believe John 3 and 16. I believe that as much as I believe Isaiah 53. I believe that as much as I believe the 23rd Psalm, they're precious. But I also believe when the Lord said, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. I believe also the word where it says, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I will again give young men a vision such as Daniel had, vision visions such as David had, visions such as Paul had, visions such as they had in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith those that the world is not worthy. Again, instead of having board meetings to say we'll do this and we'll do something else, we need to have the faith and the power of God. And again, the Holy Ghost needs to speak to us just like he did to Paul and Barnabas, just like he did to someone else. And the Holy Ghost needs to say, do this and do that. And this is going to frustrate the powers of the devil. This is going to frustrate the powers of the enemy more than anything else, because you've got to move upon the enemy quick. You've got to move upon the enemy fast so that the enemy will not know the move that you're going to make. Listen, with our soldiers that are fighting in Vietnam, if they would let the enemy know every move that they're going to make, you know the enemy would block it before they would get to do what they had planned to do. And we sit around in board meetings, we sit around in our Pentecostal conferences and other conferences, and we plan we're going to do this and we're going to do something else. The enemy knows ahead of time what you're going to do because you haven't moved upon him rapidly, and thereby and therefore he knows how to block that which you need to do and want to do. And this is the reason we need to move quickly in the Holy Ghost. And we need to get to the place that we know the still small voice of the Lord. We need to get to the place that the Holy Ghost will say, do this and do that. And this is going to frustrate the powers of the enemy. And the powers of the enemy will be brought low because you have been obedient to the Holy Ghost. I'm a firm believer in the ministry of the Spirit. I'm a firm believer in the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And again, we're living in the day that men and women are willing to come out, and they don't care what the organization is going to say. They don't care what the denomination is going to say. They don't care what the board sessions are going to do and say, but they're going to get to the place that we are obedient to the Word of God. We are obedient to what the Holy Ghost is going to say. And again, nations and kingdoms are going to be subdued. We're going forth in the name of the Lord as a mighty army, hallelujah, that the power of God might come forth in power and demonstration of the Spirit through those who will dare to believe. Well, I'll tell you, revival was on in the place where I was pastoring. And that's been 8 years now. And I'll tell you, I've known what it is to go from strength to strength. I've known what it is to go from glory to glory. I've known what it is to go from revelation to revelation. And I want to tell you, there's a price to pay from this. You will be cut off from your denomination. You will be cut off from your friends. You will be cut off from those that you've associated with. And yet, even many members of the family will turn against you. When this happened to me, I thought the whole organization is going to be thrilled about this. I thought the whole of the headquarters is going to be thrilled about this, because I thought they're a Pentecostal denomination. They stand for this and they're going to be thrilled. But you know what? They got together and they said, who gave Duncan the authority to do this? Who gave Duncan the authority to do something else? And instead of being thrilled about it, listen, they began to try to put pressure on and to try to put pressure on. Men came and stood against me. Groups stood against me. We were cut off from this fellowship. We were cut off from another. But as I was cut off, I want to tell you that the Lord brought us into something better. In my own congregation, I began to see people slain under the power mass-wise. I began to move in. I didn't understand much about casting out of demons because I've never been taught, but with what I knew, I began to cast out demons, came out in the name of the Lord. I saw people saved in groups as I'd never seen them saved, and all the joy of the Lord began to become our strength. Well, I told you about the fire department being called. Well, about 10 nights later, it was on a Thursday night. Again, the place was filled with 400 or 500 people. People crowded, people standing, people in side rooms, people getting saved, people getting healed, people getting delivered. The joy of the Lord singing before the Lord as I had never known in all the years that I had been saved since I was 7. Again, suddenly, the pianist spoke and she said, I smell like it smells a heavenly smoke. Well, I don't know what a heavenly smoke smells like because I've never smelled it. But in our sanctuary, we had 7 beams across the ceiling. And there it was just like an orange red went all the way through from one place to the other. Every hand went up and started to praise God. Everybody stood. Every voice started to praise the Lord. Again, the Shekinah glory of God filled the sanctuary. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder and they said, Pastor Duncan, you're your church is on fire. They said there's not only fire across the sanctuary, but there's fire down the annex and fire on the lawn. And they said the fire is so bad that they haven't just brought one fire truck, but they brought two fire trucks and brought the main fire chief to put out the fire. And as the fire of God was burning in the sanctuary on the hearts of God's people, I looked on the outside and the fire chief, along with men from the two fire trucks that they said, were marching around to put out the fire. Oh, you say, I don't believe that. I don't believe in supernatural means like that. But listen, you begin to look in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and you would see where God would move in a supernatural way with signs and wonders upon His people. I'll tell you, revival was on. As I mentioned, people came from all over the country. We had people from Russia. We had people from Japan. We had ministers come in that they also were sick of the old order. Their lives were changed by the power of God. To this day, people will still meet me on the street that I don't even know, and they'll say, you know, when I was saved, they said I was saved during that great move of God that you experienced in your church. Thank God for the move of God. I began to see my own son, our own young people, slain in the power. By the laying on of hands, we would stir up the gifts of the Spirit. They would begin to give tongues messages. They would begin to interpret. They would begin to prophesy. Listen, our whole order in the house of God changed. I want to tell you, God began to increase the missionary giving. We were willing to put aside the program of the natural and allow God to move in every department in the house of God. Well, during this time, I had never been overseas to minister, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to go overseas. Sister Duncan and I prepared to go overseas. We called somebody in to fill in the congregation, and you said, did the revival go on in your absence? Now, I want to tell you, it's not a move of God unless it moves beyond the four walls of your church, unless it moves on the four walls of your home, unless it moves on beyond your own needs that you have personally. And so when I told the congregation, I said, we've had such a precious move of God, we must share this with others. They did say, now, Pastor, if you go away, if someone dies, we're not going to have somebody to bury the dead. They didn't say, now, listen, if I'm not here on a Sunday morning and you're not here, I won't have anybody to call me on a Monday morning to see why I was absent in the house of God. They said, you get ready and go, and we'll stand behind you. We will go to the upper room, and we will pray day and night until you get back, that you'll have revival in those places. Thank God for the Holy Ghost making people big in the things of God. We've gotten to the place we are so selfish in our Christian lives. We are so selfish concerning the things of God. Oh, that God might move throughout America, and that He might make the pastors and the leaders big in the things of God. Take us away from our selfish motives in just protecting our own little kingdom. And you said, how about the church when you were gone? Listen, such great revival had come. Such great revival had come that the Spirit of God continued to move in our absence, in the salvation of the lost, in the healing of sick bodies and people being delivered because they continued to pray. Oh, that the church might pray. My wife and I left. We were gone for quite a period of time. And as we started in Jamaica, in Haiti, in Trinidad, and also in other places, the Spirit of God began to move. And I realized, as I sat especially over there in Trinidad, when night over 2,200 people were in this sanctuary that we'd gathered together, hundreds on the outside that couldn't get in. As I sat there on the platform, I saw the demon possessed frothing up the mouth. I saw people with big sores on their arms, running sores on their legs. I saw people that never heard of the Lord, let alone the Holy Ghost. And as I sat there, I said, if I preach a message on salvation, what about the demon possessed? I said, if I preach on the demon possessed, what about those that need healing? I said, if I preach on healing, what about those that need to be saved? And as I saw those Catholics and Hindus and Muslims who had come so hungry and yet not understanding the supernatural things of God, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, it's not what you're going to preach. It's a ministry of the Spirit that is going to bring deliverance to these people. And suddenly that became revelation to me. I realized that I could have preached a good American sermon and it would have never reached one of those people, but I began to move in with the ministry of the Spirit. The Word of God was so quickened by the Holy Ghost. I began to cast out demons. We began to lay hands on the sick and they recovered. Cancers would leave the same day that we would lay hands upon them. It brought revival to them. And the Lord said, listen, you must
create faith within these young men that they will bring revival to their own islands. Listen, missionaries and evangelists and pastors, we must stir the gift of faith in these precious native evangelists that they too will realize that the power of God is within them to bring revival to their own islands, to bring revival to their own country. Oh, we saw revival. One morning, it was in a morning prayer meeting over there between 600 and 700 in attendance to a prayer meeting. I saw two men bring in a little lady. She didn't weigh over 85 or 90 pounds, but that little woman was so demon-possessed, not just with one demon, but many demons. It took 6 or 7 great big men over 6 foot tall to try to hold her down, but they couldn't hold her down because of the manifestations of demons in her. She was frothing up the mouth. She was crying out. She was going through great contortions and so forth. Nothing in the natural could help her. I thought if we get her to a side room, people won't see and we'll cast out the demons. We got her to the side room. It was filled with people slain in the power. We went to another side room. It was filled with people slain in the power. All across the front, people were slain in the power until they could hardly move. You say, well, they understand this overseas. I want to tell you, people overseas respond to the power of God just like you do. And over there, they're not afraid of the flesh. They're not afraid of fanaticism. And I hope before God that no state of America and will go and warn them of the flesh or fanaticism, because they don't even know what the word means. And those precious people will get saved, get the Holy Ghost, and get up prophesying in one night and begin to move in and cast out demons such as we've never seen in Canada and America, because they realize that it's the power of God and they're not afraid to do it. May God stir us today. Well, this little lady that I'm telling you about, that 6 or 7 strong men couldn't hold her down, the Spirit of God suddenly moved upon me, and there was no other place to take her but the midst of the congregation with several hundred people. And I placed my hands upon that dear soul and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command every demon to leave you. And as I spoke the words of faith, every demon in that precious woman left, and she was made whole just like another person. And as after I'd cast the demons out, I said to her, I want you to walk about 20 or 25 feet over here. I'm going to lay my hands upon you and you're going to be slain in the power of God. Now listen to me. She didn't even know what those terms meant, but she walked over 20 to 25 feet. I put my hands upon her. She was slain under the power. Just like an innocent young child. Now listen, when she came in, they couldn't hold her down. And my heart was thrilled. I'll never be the same. The last night we were on the island of Trinidad, the place was filled to capacity. A little lady walked in clothed in white, holding a baby in one arm and the arm of her husband with the other. And as the testimonies were being given, this woman stood and she says, you don't recognize who I am. But she says, I'm the woman that came in here the other day so demon possessed 6 or 7 men couldn't hold me down. I was frothing up the mouth. I was being tormented and driven by demons. But she said, now I've been delivered and I'm sitting and clothed and in my right mind. Oh, thank God for the power of God for that woman being delivered, restored to her family, restored to her loved ones, and sitting and clothed and in her right mind. I want to tell you, good sermons will not cast out demons. Being nice and just a good Joe will not cast out demons. Being just a good company man to your organization will not cast out demons. The only thing that is going to cast out demons is the power of God operating in and through you, and for you to realize your authority in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. We came back, ministered in Bible colleges. All the students, freshmen, juniors, and seniors would be slain in the power. The faculty members slain in the power. We came back to our own local congregation. The revival was still on, and before 2 months was over, God spoke to us to go overseas again. And the last year that I pastored that congregation, I was only in my congregation 3 months out of 12. Why? Because this thing that God had done for me must be shared with others. And revival continued in our own house of God. Why? Because the people had been touched by the Holy Ghost. Listen, beloved, I thank God for the sovereign work that He did in my life 8 years ago. Some of the ministers that I had known for years and years came to me at the time, and they said, listen, Duncan, we're going to see how long this will last, whether it will be over in 2 or 3 months. It's been 8 years now, and I want to tell you, the Lord has continued to lead us by revelation. The Lord has continued to lead us by His Spirit, and I want to tell you, Sister Duncan, and I have been stripped of friends. We've been stripped of other things, but as the Lord has taken taken away. He has given us of His rest and peace. And I've seen more of the demonstration of the power of God in the last 8 years than in all of those other years put together. And remember, I said I was in Pentecost from the time that I was 7. My heart crying out. My heart responding to the things of God. But oh, you know as I know the dearth lands, the dearth times, the dearth years. But thank God, instead of the dearth years, instead of the famine years, now spiritually speaking, we're looking to the years of the restoring of all things. Revival is here. And instead of praying, God, send revival, God, send revival, pray this prayer, God, get me in the place that you can send revival. Now, I realize many people stand against this. Organizations will stand against this. And just because denominations will go under the name of Pentecostal, I want you to know it's not that they're standing for the Pentecostal message today. We need the move of God today. And I'll close with this scripture, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I thank God for the way that He's moved upon me. I know that I don't have the full orb truth. I know that I don't have the full orb message. But as I continue to keep my heart before God, the Lord will reveal that which is already in the Word, which has not been understood by me or others because we've been in the natural. I want you to stir your own heart and soul. And as this tape is finished in your home group, or if you're listening to it purposely, I want you to get down and begin to pray and say, oh, God, create a hunger within my heart. Oh, God, begin to restore in me. Begin to pour in me that I'll have something to give out, that we can say like the Apostle Peter, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. May the Lord bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.